Now let's turn our attention to the scripture for today, which comes from Matthew chapter 15. If you're using the Bibles from the back of the sanctuary in the ESV, you'll find this passage on page 976. If you're using the NIV, page 1522. I'll be reading from the NIV. Again, it's Matthew 15, beginning with verse 21 and reading through verse 28. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from the vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered only, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. The word of the Lord.
Morning, Water Dam. Happy Mother's Day. We want to thank all of you for being here today. We especially want to recognize that we have a small gift. Our ushers will pass out that small gift now to all of our ladies that are college age and up. You're going to receive a little token of our appreciation. So if you're out of high school, basically, you get one of these little gifts. It's a clip. We call it a chip clip, but it has a little message on there for you. We just want to say thank you for everything that you do for your kids and for us as we... Oh, they're even pink, so you'll like them, so hopefully. At least they're pink to me. The one thing that I want to say to you is that we have been on a whirlwind pace. I want to thank you for sending myself, Dan Fennell, and Russ Hummer. Scott couldn't go this year, but we went over to the Basics Conference and had a wonderful conference of encouragement and being fed. We're blessed to be there. As Alistair Begg will be retiring in June, I believe, and I don't know how much he's going to be around. I'm assuming he's going to be around for the Basics, and he began that good work, and the Lord will finish it. I realize that, but he's moved up his retirement date to June, so that's a big announcement for their church. They already have his replacement, and it's a guy that they brought up through their church and is going to follow in Alistair's footsteps, and with God's help, he will carry the torch, carry the baton. Let us pray. Father God, as we think about praying today and thinking about our mothers, many of us in this place today praise you for the blessed memory of a Christian home. Our prayers of thanksgiving join with Timothy for the incredible blessing in learning the Holy Scriptures at his mother's and grandmother's knee. We thank God for our mothers who've loved us and taught us and prayed with us and for us and lived before us as women of faith. May the heritage continue on in this generation. May you prepare our hearts to receive the seed of your word. Grant that it may take deep root and bring forth fruit to your glory. Visit us with your salvation and instill our faith in every heart. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I love Mother's Day as far as the aspect of what my mom meant to me, as I'm sure that many of you feel the same way about your mom. This is a quote. I'm not sure if it was John MacArthur who said it, but it said, "One generation plants the trees, the next generation gets the shade." One generation plants the trees, the next generation gets the shade. And if you think about it, every generation should understand the responsibility that they have to plant the trees so that there is shade for the next generation. Now, this passage is an interesting passage to pick for this type of sermon for Mother's Day. The reason why is because in hearing Jesus' confrontation or his talking with this woman who comes to him, this concerned mother, it could be kind of confusing to us, or it could be actually offensive to us. And I heard Dr. Caldwell talk about this, that he cautioned everyone that about this passage. He says, if you don't accept the sovereign rights of the Almighty God over all humanity, this section will offend you. If you don't accept the sovereign right of God to afford special status to a particular nation, the nation of Israel, by virtue of a covenant relationship that God chose to give them, this section will offend you. If you don't accept that man deserves nothing and that all mercies are gracious mercies, then this passage especially may offend you, may be offensive. But, he says, if you've met grace, met with the grace of God, if you admire the change in a human nature that the Spirit of God produces, if you recognize the wisdom of God's dealings with men and women, if you recognize the beauty of humility, then this passage is one of the most beautiful passages in the New Testament. I say that because Jesus' words to this woman, he basically tells her that he came for the lost sheep of Israel and that it's not right, he says, to feed the dogs from the children's bread. That is a tough statement. As we come to this, and this passage can be challenging, but if you admire, like I said, what he does to save people, if you trust God's ways and not our ways, if we put our faith in him and we listen to Jesus, we see the beauty of this passage and this woman's approach. When we think about the characteristics of a mother, what mother doesn't exude love for her children? It is an amazing picture. The great love of a mother for their children has always amazed me. God seems to wrap up patience and perseverance and compassion into a woman. As we think about all the times when our mothers took care of us and warned us against getting near some of the delinquents that we ran around with. And so I find it amazing in this picture here of this mother. She's literally tracked down Jesus for a reason and for her daughter. And so, as seeing this, we see her seeking Jesus out. We begin with a principle of the Bible for about true faith, that God rewards those who seek him. Many of us have heard this passage. Many of us are familiar with this passage. But in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, "And those without faith, it's impossible to please him." Who? Talking about God. "For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." Well, obviously, this woman is coming to him. When we think about faith, faith is a gift. The Bible says that, that it's a gift that is given to. But in this woman, we see this faith being developed in her, and he's drawing it out of her. And without faith, we need to know this, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You have to believe that he exists. Number two, God rewards those who seek him, earnestly seek him in faith. He says, if you seek me, you will find me. And so this woman has faith. Faith is indispensable. It's not just important, it's indispensable. And God rewards those who seek him in faith. And this woman, as we will see, is desperate. She's a desperate mom. I can imagine the mothers out there, I can remember my mom, how she took care of me. We see it in verse 21, and Jesus went away from there, And he withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from the region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." Some of your translations say cruelly oppressed by a demon. Now, I can't imagine what that was like for this mom. But as we see here, and we see the Lord's journey, we notice something in the first verse there in 21. It says Jesus went away. Secondly, he was withdrawing. And look at the places that he's going to. It's Tyre and Sidon. These are modern-day Lebanon. And this is Gentile country. And they did not like, the Jews did not like the Gentiles. And here we've got this picture of today's world, this modern world. This is where Jesus went. Jesus went into Gentile territory, where this was the long enemy of Israel. The Gentiles, the Canaanites, which is what Matthew calls her as a Canaanite, are overarching enemies from long ago. And this is where Jesus has retreated with his disciples. He has went away. He was left behind the crowds that he had been doing things like healing people. By this time, John the Baptist in Matthew's gospel has already been killed. And you see him, he walks on the water and he does all these different things. So you can imagine the crowds gathering around Jesus. So he's withdrawing from the crowds and the constant opposition of the Pharisees. They are always coming at him. Matter of fact, it's kind of funny. Today we're talking about Mother's Day. In this passage, if you look at the couple of verses there, the Pharisees and the scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Well, they got a problem. Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat." Now, how many mothers have told you to wash your hands? And it's relatable, but they're making a big deal of it because the washing was ceremonial. You had to wash your hands in a certain way. And so they're complaining about this. And he answered them, "Why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, honor your father and your mother. And whoever reviles his father or mother must surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father or his mother what you would have gain from me is given to God." In other words, they used to call it Corban. It was dedicated to God. "I can't help you, Mom. I can't help you, Dad. I'm going to keep my money so I don't give it to my, I don't take care of my parents." That's what they were doing. And Jesus is calling them on the mat about it. And so basically what they would do is say, "Well, that's been dedicated to God. I can't help you, Dad and Mom." And Jesus calls them on that. And then he says something very interesting about honoring, and you need to not, so I'm sorry, he says, "What if you would have gained from me? If anyone tells you his father or mother, what would you have gained from me as given to God? He need not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God." So he says, you're canceling out the word of God by your actions. And then he says, "You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, the people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines, as commandments of men." And so they're talking, he's going and addressing purity. And he's talking about what defiles a person. And here's the religious people who are supposed to know who Jesus is and celebrate who Jesus is rejecting him. And then we have this Canaanite woman who comes to Jesus and recognizes Jesus. So notice that Jesus takes this long journey. And he went away to Tyre and Sidon. And it's a Syrophoenician area. It's coming out of Syria. It's modern-day Lebanon. And this little trip was possibly to Tyre is 34 miles. Over to Sidon at the far edge, it could be as long as 50 miles. It would take a couple of days to walk that. And so it's an amazing picture of Jesus backing away, but he's going there for a specific reason. Jack Graham said this is the only time, one and only time, that Jesus left the countryside of Israel. This is Gentile territory. So Jesus is pointing out something. It's not my normal traffic pattern, he says, but he went into the world to save the world. Even the Gentiles. Even the people that live in Lebanon. and Syria. So this is the picture here as we come to this. Why is this woman tracking Jesus down the way that she did? Well, she tells us why. She's desperate. What is she desperate about? Her daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. The Canaanite, that word Canaanite, you remember, are idol worshipers. They were ancient enemies of Israel, whom God ordered destroyed. She, not a part of Israel. She is a descendant of the avowed enemies of Israel. But apparently her idols had been unable to assist her. In fact, they may have even contributed to the problem. We don't know that. But something happened to lead this girl astray. So here's her heart cry, Mom. She refers to Jesus as Lord and addresses him as Son of David, which is a messianic term. She's desperate. She has a great need. She believes Jesus can help her. She asks him to have mercy on her. In other words, mercy is something you give to somebody that doesn't deserve it, right? It's giving them something they don't deserve. She's saying, I want you to give mercy to me. I don't deserve it. Senior pastor Jeff Figgs of Calvary Chapel, Greeley, Colorado, said, God's word brings her and holds her in front of us this morning. And we will see that there are things about her life that God wants to see and understand about her that touches our own lives. How many moms out there have been praying for years over their children? God does not hide himself from a genuine need nor a genuine cry. Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. God rewards those who seek him. We said that earlier. That's a principle of the Bible. She's a picture of you and I this morning. She is of Canaan. She's not of the house of Israel. She's outside the covenant of God. She's a picture of you and I and others, millions of others of people who will be brought into the kingdom of God by the power of God. This woman we meet is a mother living with a lot on her plate, as they say. She has a daughter. She has a young daughter who is severely oppressed by a demon. How long has she been living with this? How long has she been looking at her daughter and talking to her daughter? We are not told. But she saw something change in her daughter. She noticed probably something about her personality that started to change, or what she looked like in her countenance. Seeing her daughter countenance changing and wondering what she could do to help her daughter, she takes off after Jesus. She has a desperate faith. I believe what Adrian Rogers says, you will never learn that God is all you need until he is all you have. This faith, this type of faith, this is where we run out of our own options, right? We quit trying to save ourselves or do it on our own power. This is when we run out of answers. This is where God wants, I believe, most of us, all of us, that he wants us to rely on him and him only, to seek him. And so as we see this picture, we see this woman dealing with her daughter, looking at her daughter day and night, wondering what she can do to help. And so she apparently has heard about Jesus. And she addresses him as Lord, Son of David. How does Jesus respond? Well, as we look at this passage, he responds in an unusual way that might be even confusing to us. He is silent. It says in verse 23, but he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, send her away, for she is crying out after us. What is the response on the guys that are supposed to be helping him with his ministry? Just get rid of her, Lord. The commentaries, a lot of the theologians that talk about this passage, they were saying that the disciples were basically saying, just heal her. Just heal her and get her out of our way. You remember, that's kind of the way they were with everybody that cried out for Jesus. The guy along the road, the blind guy, you remember him? Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on the guy. The guys, the disciples all say, shut up. You know, that Pittsburgh accent, shut up. You could hear them. You know, would you just be quiet? And here we got them gone, done again. Here they're with Jesus. They see this woman is crying. It says crying after us. She's not giving up. Why? Because she cares about her daughter. A mom won't stop when it comes to their kids. There's a reason why they call bears mama bears. You don't get in between a mama bear and her cubs. God has built that into them. My daughter, you've seen pictures of her. Some of you know that she's very, very pregnant right now. And, you know, every little thing, every movement is felt. And so Seton's scripture, I formed you in the womb. I mean, that mom lives with that. And when my, you know, what do they say? You're only as happy as your unhappiest child. So, you got one out there that's not doing well. You're not doing well. And your husband comes up and he goes, hey, how you doing? She goes, well, I can't really deal with this. I said, you know, and then they start telling you, and the guy's like, oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Right? But mama knows. Mama's living this. And that's what's going on with this woman. She is persistent. She's persistent. She's not only desperate, she's persistent. It's interesting to note this woman is a Canaanite from that region. She's not Jewish, but yet she cries out, Lord, have mercy on me for my daughter. She's interceding on her daughter's behalf. Now, the Lord's response may seem cruel to us, maybe even uncaring, but we know that it's untrue because we have the full conversation. But stay with this. Keep in mind, we cannot see his face or hear his tone. And he's silent. He does not answer, but it didn't mean he was giving her the cold shoulder. He knows what he's intending to do. Dr. Caldwell talked about this, the guy that I read earlier. He said it's like when he was going to feed the 5,000 people. He tells his disciples to feed them, and they didn't even have enough food. He goes, what do you mean? How can we feed them? But he knew what he was intending to do, just like in this woman. He knows what he's intending to do. He's going to put on display what he knows is true of her and what he's going to draw out of her and what is true about himself and true about God. I've read lots of commentaries on this and lots of material and heard different sermons on it. And it says basically that Jesus is trying to draw her out. He wasn't playing games with her. He could see how strong her faith was and how she was aligning herself with his will. So he set her apart as an example of true faith. He put up barriers so that she might step over them and show her true commitment. Jesus knew what she wanted, and he knew what he was going to do. The disciples, however, are rambunctious. They're kind of out of sorts. They're like, get over it. Let's just get this out of the way. These are annoying things. Now, we don't know what she was thinking in his silence. How many times has God been silent in our prayer life where we get unsettled by it, shaken by it? This woman is not giving up. But how often do we give up in our own prayer life when we don't have the answer we want, when God doesn't answer right away? We have to trust him here. It says, but he did not answer her a word. So that's kind of unsettled his disciples, and they just want to get rid of her. So the first response was no response. The second response is found in 24. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. In other words, he is talking about his mission. And so when we think about that, that's what Jesus kept telling his disciples. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 5, it says that he sends his disciples out to the lost sheep of Israel. Don't go to the Samaritans. Don't go to the Gentiles. But everything Dr. Caldwell said was meant for Jesus was doing everything specifically and intentionally as a sign for the people of Israel. They were supposed to recognize this kind of talk, this kind of covenant talk. He told the disciples, the 12 he sent out, instructing them, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But he is not answering her because she is not of covenant expectation to connecting to what she's asking for. Now that may be deep in the woods for some of you, but what I'm saying to you is that the lost sheep of Israel is who Jesus came to first. It's the Gentiles that come in second. They're made jealous. The Gentiles, when they come to God, that makes Israel jealous. Here's the ironic picture. You've got the Pharisees in the first beginning of this passage talking to Jesus about what is proper, what is right, and they reject Jesus. The ones that have all the laws, have all the psalms, they have the truth, they have the temple, they have everything that's been a benefit to them. You remember how Jesus talked to the disciples? He said, you of little faith. He kept saying, you have little faith. This woman and the only other person that he talked to that said he said had great faith was the soldier who came and asked Jesus to do a miracle for him. They were Gentiles. Basically, his expectation was the people that had the laws and the psalms and the temple and the priests and all of the accoutrements of God's choosing missed it. They rejected Jesus. Here we see him working with this woman, but he's also doing something specific in the life of his own disciples, showing them that all people matter to God. So the first thing that we saw was her desperate faith. The second thing we saw was that she was persistent. The third thing that we see is that she's humble. What does she do? How does she react to his silence? Well, she kneels down before him. In verse 25, it says she came to him and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. I need help. I picture her running and getting in front of him and getting in front of him and dropping down. I don't picture her just saying it. You know, like, I mean, desperation is in her heart. She's already said, have mercy on me. About my daughter. My daughter needs help. I need help. And in his silence, she comes and kneels before him. She bows before him, worshiping him. Lord, help me. So she responded to the rebuff of Jesus with increased dedication, increased fortitude to plea on behalf of her daughter. And he answers her. It's not right. It's not proper to give the children's food to the pet. That's not the way he said it. That's a summary of what he said. Henry Morris said, the dogs under the table were understood to be small household pets, not the mongrel dogs outside. So one of the reasons that seeming harshness of Jesus replying to the Gentile woman, note the Lord Jesus had come into the world to die for the sins of the whole world, but he'd also come as Israel's promised Messiah. His seeming harshness to this Canaanite woman is best understood as not only a test of her faith in the God of Israel, but also a means to show her disciples, to show his disciples that the Gentiles also were included in God's plan and they too could have saving faith. Her faith is so strong. She realized even the tiny leftovers of Jesus' power would be enough to heal her daughter. She was willing to take the crumbs from the children's table. Where do we see that at? Look at verse 27. It says, true, Lord, or yes, Lord. You hear that? Yes, Lord, that is true. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. She's so amazing. This woman is so amazing. She's willing to take the crumbs. And this is what we see in this amazing humility in this woman and this cunningness of talking to the Lord. But God is working in her and working out this great faith, just like he does in all of us. When we don't understand what's going on in our life, when God is silent, when God is confusing, when we don't know the answers, God is working to draw out of us and to build into us a solid foundation of faith. So at this moment, Jesus had, he's waiting to hear what this woman would say. And she wouldn't let go. He said, at the moment of the heavens opened up, Jesus gave her a carte blanche. Oh, woman. That's emotion. He's not uncaring. Oh, woman, he says, great is your faith. This is great faith. This is what this picture looks like. Then Jesus answered her, oh, woman, he says, great is your faith. He delights in it. It's an amazing picture of God's love. Jesus was not indifferent. He delights in what he sees and what he hears. He explains why he's delighted. He says, your faith, that's what he's excited about it. Just like he was excited about the centurion that came to him. He says, I've never seen this kind of faith. This is awesome. This is great faith. Jesus is delighting in this woman's faith. And he drew her out. Dr. Caldwell talked about this. He said, "When what is on display is her faith. He declares her willingness to meet her desires. Be it done, he says, as you desire. Then the Bible tells us her daughter was healed immediately for her. The woman's willingness, her praise, her persistence, her humility is why she had genuine faith. And because of the way Jesus dealt with the situation, his glory is also on display. Her beautiful praise is on display. When she went to him, she said, Lord, have mercy on me. My daughter needs help. Lord, help me. Help me. And then we see her humility, her persistence. She gets down before him and bows and asks for help. And then when he rebuffs her, telling her that he came to the lost sheep of Israel, and he tells her that it's not right for the master to give his children's food to the pets. But yes, Lord, but even the little dogs get the crumbs. What a picture. It's amazing. It's mega faith. It's God's grace. He tells us all to put our hand of faith in the hand of grace. If you seek me, you will find me. She is humble and willing to go as far as she needs to go for the Lord, for his mercy and his grace. That's mega faith. We learn the characteristics from this mom on this Mother's Day. God holds it in front of us to display what was found in her that we can apply to us, and that we can see how God is working in us through times of trials, through times of silence, through times of struggle. There is hope in Jesus Christ. God rewards, that's what the Bible says, rewards those who seek him in faith. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this message. We ask, Lord, that you would help each one of us. We're reminded of the great humility of this woman, that you reject the proud, but you give grace to the humble, that she was willing to wait for the crumbs from your table. Lord, we too are Gentiles. We have no covenant right. Only by the blood of Jesus can we come. Only by your grace. My friend, would you come to Jesus? Would you ask him for help? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hear the words of the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.